Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Weather always takes precedent, especially when it's an active weather situation. National Weather Service with a winter weather advisory for the immediate Pittsburgh area. If you travel to the ridges southeast of the city and certainly north along the lakeshore, they have a winter storm warning in place. 3 to 5 inches expected up there along the lake. Generally 1 to 3 inches of snow in the immediate Pittsburgh area. There are some delays and some closings. You can go to kdkradio.com to get details on that. And we'll keep you posted throughout the day. It looks like, Paul, the afternoon rush also may be infected.
Oh, no, really? I didn't see that.
Infected.
Infected with bad drivers, let's put it that way.
Possibility of snow squalls this afternoon, brief whiteout conditions.
Oh, okay.
As this Arctic air blast brings down the colder air and with it some of the moisture off of the lakes. And so we'll get, and we're not the only ones.
I wonder in terms of timing what we're looking at, or it's because we're dealing with, what did you say, possible squalls. Timing's probably not even possible.
Right. Off and on, they say we'll go through a period this morning and then snow squalls this afternoon and into tonight. And then temperature will drop dramatically to 19. So anything that's wet is going to freeze, too.
I have a weather app here that says there's a 25% chance of precipitation between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. So pretty much any time there.
Correct. The other big story for Pittsburgh and the region is Nippon Steel. Apparently, President Biden will announce, and it could come as early as today, from Washington, we're hearing that he all along has said he will block the deal. Many have said, why are they blocking the deal if they're suggesting security concerns?
National security. Yet, I have yet to hear from, and this could be just because I haven't, they have been saying it, I just haven't heard it, but I haven't heard the specifics. What would specifically happen? What is the concern that, have you heard?
Nobody will answer that, except that the steelworkers president has been against it since the beginning. Donald Trump said he's against it. Joe Biden has said he's against it, but nobody's made it clear. They've really not made it clear. What is the national concern, the security concern? This is Japan, not China.
Right. Give me an example of what we're hearing. This is Senator John Fetterman from a Trib Live interview. This is a story that they're running today.
What aren't they telling us?
He says, I'm going to follow the union. I'm sure there might be some people that disagree, but union leadership has been directly in negotiations and have been following it very closely. And then the article goes on to say that by some estimates, now 90% of rank-and-file U.S. steel workers at the Mon Valley Works are warming to the deal. 19 local politicians signed a letter back in December calling on the president to approve the deal. And that committee that's going to make the recommendation to the president, called the Committee on Foreign Investment, well, they split on this issue and left it up to the president to decide. Very interesting.
I still want to know what the national security concern is, because Donald Trump just announced $100 billion investment, and you mentioned it yesterday, for the company that does I got technology infrastructure, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that company?
SoftBank.
SoftBank.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, for us in this region, catastrophic if it doesn't happen, because there are no other suitors that even come close to putting a deal together that makes sense, who's going to invest $1.2 billion in infrastructure in the Mon Valley. Now, I met face-to-face with the vice chairman of Nippon Steel, Takahiro Mori, a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to know what he heard from our government on their concerns of national security. And he, like us, didn't have a good answer. And, you know, I've asked a lot of people that had worked for U.S. Steel, the workers here, and they have promised. One of the things people don't know, U.S. Steel's headquarters isn't here anymore. It's in Houston. They would move the headquarters back to Pittsburgh, according to...
Nippon Steel would.
Right.
Actually, I'm sorry. Nippon Steel's headquarters is in Houston.
Well, they would move...
They would move it up here.
Yes.
Yes.
To Pittsburgh.
Let me throw this little thing in here, too. The biggest concession that Nippon Steel is making on this whole thing is giving the government veto power over any capacity reductions over a period of 10 years, which I've never heard of anything quite like that before. It's unique to me. And here in a letter Thursday, what did the union leadership call this announcement? They said it's a worthless promise.
Okay.
I mean, so what we're getting is we're getting union rhetoric from the leadership. And there appears to be this gap growing between the leadership and the rank and file. And we're still not getting what you're talking about, these specifics. I mean,
yeah,
you had a conversation with one of the major players here. Did you ask him what the possible national security interest problems would be?
Yes,
and
I asked him directly.
And what did he say?
He said they had no answer. This isn't China, it's Japan. So Colin Dunlap, our afternoon host, just texted. He said, quote, "The hilarity of this is a national security thing is preposterous. Sharon Steel is owned by Russians."
Yeah, and by the way, Nippon Steel already has operations here in the United States.
You get Joe Biden or Donald Trump or any of the elected officials that say they're against it, you go down to the Mon Valley and talk to the men and women who work
exactly
there,
right,
and their families.
If
and
they went down there, and you bet they would. If they had a one-on-one conversation with the, like you did, with the fellow from Nippon Steel, I think it would change too.
And I told Mr. Mori that my concern is for my community. I'm not going to benefit either way directly or immediately, but it will affect our community and our families in the Mon Valley. If this does, there is no other alternative that comes close. And if there is, show us the money.
Well, all I can say is I remember the words from the mayor of Clairton said that if this deal falls through, it could very well mean the death of the Mon Valley.
Well, keep in mind that U.S. Steel, their own company, decided not to invest in the Mon Valley.
Yep.
They took it south.
They had a plan to do like $1.5 billion in investment, and they pulled it back.
I would love to just hear what's the national security concern, and do you have the same concerns with the SoftBank deal?
Yep.
Or any other? This is one of our strongest allies, Japan. Again, it's not China.
Mm-hmm.
Or Russia. Thank you, Colin, for that. Otherwise, what else? Well, people will be talking about this, I guarantee it. $1.2 billion promised in infrastructure in the Mon Valley will evaporate.
No job cuts, they promise. Offering $5,000 bonuses.
Yeah, they say, oh, you're trying to buy their loyalty. Well, that's how capitalism works. Give people money and they work. And in this case, yeah, they're trying to...
Well, I think they're trying to build a partnership with the union workers.
Congress convenes 5 hours, 45 minutes, 46 seconds.
And the circus begins because they've got to elect a Speaker of the House, and who knows what that's going to turn into. I hope not a food fight again.
Steelers-Bengals tomorrow.
Yeah, baby.
Talk about a food fight. So most likely, according to most experts, the Steelers will face Houston, the Texans, in the playoffs. Now, they're in the playoffs, the seeding may change depending on what transpires in the games over the weekend, particularly with Baltimore earlier in the day at 4:30 playing the Cleveland Browns.
And I'm curious here to see what the spread is on this game. If I could just get this app to respond. The Bengals are a 2-point favorite. Come on, man.
At home for the Steelers. Yeah, but we'll see.
I bet there's a lot of money going on the Steelers here.
And four Steelers made the Pro Bowl. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick may be a surprise.
I was surprised. But, you know, somebody called the Pro Bowl yesterday in a conversation that I had a popularity contest more than
it's
performance.
Fans. Yeah. It's fans voting. Patrick Mahomes didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Are you kidding me?
No. So you have Chris Boswell, best kicker in football. I get that. You have Cam Hayward, defensive captain, who's been consistently solid and great for the team. And then you have T.J. Watt.
There you go.
And T.J. also voted by his teammates a record fifth MVP of the team. Here's what he said about that.
It's awesome. It's a great honor. I don't take lightly. It matters most to the guys that see what I do each and every day. And to have it come from them means a lot to me.
I just saw a new commercial with him on the treadmill
with
yesterday.
With his brothers and his mom.
He was on a Peloton.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was competing with other people.
Was his brother?
It showed him working out. I mean, it was really a well-produced commercial. I don't know if his brother was in it or not, but it's the first time I've seen it. May not be a new commercial, but it was new to me.
Well, there are three Watt brothers, all played football. Remember, two of them were here at one point, and they were talking about maybe trying to get JJ out of retirement and get all three brothers on the Steelers team. Meanwhile, that didn't happen. Maybe that would have been a good thing.
You know, JJ's fun to follow on X, by the way. His posts are
he's becoming
interesting.
A real media personality. T.J. Watt.
I love it.
Hope we're saying that a lot tomorrow night.
Bring it on. Let's have a sack fest.
CY, take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and tremendous talk with our talk hosts. Marty Griffin, middays, 10 to 2. Colin Dunlap, 2 to 6 in the afternoon. Of course, Rob Pratt and our team throughout the course of the weekend. Nobody works harder than Rob Pratt in the industry. He puts more hours in just a weekend alone, Paul. That man. People ask me all the time, how does he do it? I say, well, he's artificially generated.
He does. An amazing marathon of hours on the air during our weekends.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Really. We all marvel his ability. And he shifts gears, too, with all the shows that he hosts. Meanwhile, Pat Septak, our news director, or news editor, sorry.
That's what he thinks, right?
How is your commute in from Zeeley? Thumbs up or a scale 1 to 10? Give us a number. He's out in the newsroom. We'll snag it. The 7. Okay.
Yeah, the roads were not bad on the way in, and they were treating the heck out of them when I was on the
no,
way
for
in.
Yeah. You and I, yeah. But yeah. Once we went through the Fort Pitt Tunnel from the city.
Isn't that bizarre?
It changed, and Aaron, our producer, encountered snow-covered roads, too, just through the tunnel, right, Aaron?
Right. Mainly, like, through the tunnel coming out, you could tell that the snow was just coming down a little heavier. Still not bad, but little bit of slip and slide here and there.
It was a night and day thing for me. I came across the bridge and went into the tunnel and came out the end. And there was not much going on, if anything at all, over, you know, by the point and right. Along the river. And you go through the tunnel and you come out and all of a sudden you're in a whole new world. It's like a snowfall, big time.
About a 1,500-mile stretch of people are getting snow and some a lot more than we will get across the nation. And an Arctic blast, apart from Hawaii and a tiny bit of Florida, most of the country is going to be shivering this weekend, including California, the Gulf Coast, the Deep South. The unusually cold weather is going to hang around for a while, too. Early next week, parts of the Midwest Plain States will have feels like readings below zero, 10 to 20 degrees below average. And if you think that's cold, they're telling us wait till next weekend. When the really cold Arctic air blows in. And we're going to check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg here in the next 15 minutes. get details on all of that as we get into the weekend. This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome to the weekend. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Paul, you touched on the story. There are updates from both New Orleans and Las Vegas. And it's been a emotionally challenged start to the year.
But as I sat down to watch the ball game yesterday afternoon, I was pleased to see that Bourbon Street had reopened, which is a big deal in New Orleans. It's a place where we, when I was there, greeted people and visitors from all over the world. And then they made their way down. They closed Loyola Street down completely so people can walk to the Superdome. It's really cool.
It's that close to the dome itself?
Yeah, it's about a 20-minute walk.
And in New Orleans, CBS's Katie Weiss.
It's been 2 days since that truck came barreling through here on the iconic Bourbon Street of New Orleans, crashing actually right here on this block. That driver shooting at police, getting his gun and shooting at police in a terror attack that really has created a somber spirit across the city these last 2 days. Nonetheless, Bourbon Street is now back open, and it has not deterred many partygoers from coming out here and enjoying what really defines this city, the spirit of fun.
Crowds returned to Bourbon Street Thursday, along with extra police presence.
We're not going to be scared or terrorized. New Orleans is going to keep going like we always do.
Authorities now say the man who rammed a truck through crowds celebrating the new year early Wednesday acted alone.
We're confident at this point that there is no accomplices.
The FBI says Shamsuddin Jabbar rented an electric truck on Monday in Houston, Texas, where he lived, and drove to New Orleans on Tuesday evening. After midnight on the morning of the attack, he placed two improvised explosive devices in coolers in the French Quarter. He posted a final online video proclaiming support for ISIS just minutes before he plowed into the crowd on Bourbon Street.
Nobody's seen anything like this coming.
A local Texas CBS station spoke with the attacker's brother, who asked to remain anonymous.
I'm still shocked by the whole thing. It still doesn't seem like it actually happened.
But it did happen, and now 14 families are mourning the loss of lives cut tragically short.
Like 27-year-old mom Nicole Perez.
She worked so hard. She had a lot of dreams.
And 25-year-old Matthew Tenadorio, who worked at the Superdome.
He was just a very loving, everybody's friend kind of person.
Yesterday, the postponed Sugar Bowl was played at the Superdome after a message from President Joe Biden.
The spirit of New Orleans can never be kept down.
And a moment of silence for the victims.
Now, I have been able to confirm just within the last few hours that both of the police officers who were injured in that gunfire exchange right here in this block behind me are thankfully out of the hospital and are doing well, I'm told. So that's certainly some good news amid all of this. Meanwhile, the FBI says that there's still an active investigation that's ongoing at the Airbnb where the shooter was staying here in New Orleans as a tourist. And we're told that the FBI still wants the public to come forward with more tips and information as they try to piece together more about what happened and what could have happened with the attacker, what could have radicalized him enough to kill.
And Larry, the CEO of Odyssey, David Field, sent us all a message yesterday. One of our teammates, a New Jersey employee who worked in New York, Billy DeMeo, he was in our sales department, a national salesperson who was a victim in New Orleans as well. It's come home.
Boy, that was hard to see. When I first saw the note from David Field, again, as you know, our CEO, it was hard to hear because I thought it would be a statement about the coverage and what we were doing, you know, as a company to cover this story.
I think we should say about Billy, from this letter from the CEO, will be fondly remembered for his unwavering work ethic, positive attitude, and kindness.
Yeah. That
very sad.
It and the local gentleman who KDK TV caught up with, you had a clip, 51-year-old Jeremy Sensky in Washington County, you know, just happy.
Listen to this.
The first thing I remember when I hit the ground were the gunshots. The whole time I was like pretty messed up. I really didn't know what was going on. And I was just glad that I didn't get shot.
He was in a wheelchair when he was hit by that truck, broke two of his legs, and now he's in a New Orleans hospital recovering after surgery. Thank goodness he's still with us.
But happy to be alive. And I saw, as millions of people did, some of the videos, almost didn't want to watch, hard to watch, but there are so many different angles of videos because of the security cameras that now exist in many of the businesses, certainly along Bourbon Street.
And I happened to catch one this morning before I came into work, somebody's cell phone video, and when the gunfire broke out between the attacker and the police officers. I guess he fired a shot or two, and then there was this barrage of gunfire, which is what the police are trained to do.
And were able to take him out before he took anybody else with him.
Yeah.
But the video that I saw, that just, there was a young woman, and she was running down the street, and you didn't see the truck yet in this sequence, and she just stepped on the curb, and in a split second was inches away from being hit by the truck, but was not.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's the difference that you see between one person and another who wasn't so fortunate, in this case 14 people and over 30 injured. But Bourbon Street has reopened, and he apparently acted alone. They emphasized that.
And it looked like he had accomplices at first, right? I mean, that was the conversation about
that.
The IEDs, and they had people helping him with all of a sudden, all of that disappeared, and he's a lone actor.
And
there was no connection to Las Vegas either.
And the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion was a suicide.
Just coincidental.
And explosion, apparently, the active duty Green Beret on leave, which is unimaginable, but apparently took his own life.
6 days after his wife told him that they were done.
And for the details on the weather, we go live to AccuWeather's world headquarters, meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Joe, Happy New Year. Good morning.
Happy New Year and good morning to you, Larry.
So what's the deal? I see some light snow at the moment. To kind of step us through the day and into the weekend, please.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things going on here. This first little system's weak, but it's got enough moisture to produce the steady snow that we're seeing right now. It's sticking. It's going to cause some slippery travel conditions for the next few hours. I think it tapers off and ends by lunchtime and then moves off to our east, and we'll get an inch or two out of that. But then behind it, it gets unstable, and you can get these snow showers, you know, some lake-enhanced snow showers that may actually be bursts of snow or snow squalls, if you will. And we'll have a couple of those to contend with this afternoon and this evening. So while it won't snow the entire time during the afternoon and evening hours, a couple of those will come through and briefly reduce visibility. You'll go from, you know, 5-10 miles, it's fine, a couple of flurries, and all of a sudden you can't see anything. Visibility's a quarter of a mile or less. And it quickly can, you know, stick to the roads and cause more slippery travel. We might get another inch out of that. That finally goes away, and it just opens up the door to more Arctic air with temperatures staying in the 20s, not just tomorrow, but probably through next week. And then, oh, by the way, there's another storm that comes in Sunday night and into Monday with more snow.
Oh, boy. Hey, Joe, about those snow squalls and these bands that are going to form this afternoon, can you give us some idea of the likelihood of that?
I think it's pretty probable. It just looks like it's going to get very unstable, and there'll be a good northwest flow off of the lake, so you'll pick up moisture from really from Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Erie, and that it'll pick that moisture up, and then it'll be too warm at the surface for how cold it's getting aloft. Overturning takes place. You pick up that moisture off of those lakes, and you're just going to see these snow squalls go through. So I think there'll be several of them. You know, you'll get one. It'll last for 15, 20 minutes. It'll go downstream, and then, you know, 45 minutes later, you might get another one that comes on through. It might be a little differently oriented, but that's what we're going to be facing, I think, this afternoon and this evening.
Paul and I were looking at details of 2024 climate-wise. The coldest day of the year was January 7th. In 2024, the snowiest day only produced 3.3 inches February 16th. So we're going to be flirting with that maybe over the next few days.
Yeah, I think so. And particularly the system Sunday night and Monday, you know, it depends on which of these computer forecasts you want to take stock in. You know, right now we're thinking that somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 3 inches seems most probable from that particular storm system. But it could easily be more. It depends on, you know, the exact track of that storm, something that you'll have to stay tuned to over the weekend.
Appreciate the update. It's just going to be plain cold, though, for the Steelers-Bengals game tomorrow night at Acrisure.
Absolutely. I mean, temperatures are going to be, what, in the mid-20s, low to mid-20s. It'll feel like it's in the teens. Bundle up if you're going.
All right, Joe, have a great weekend. Thank you, brother.
All right, stay safe.
Well, from the sound of it, Larry, I think we're going to call 2025 the year that winter returned.
For the moment. Right now, 26 degrees. Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmussen, we'll continue to keep you posted. In the next half hour, we're also going to check in live with the director of Allegheny County Public Works, Stephen Chanley, and get the details. The technology is now you can follow electronically the plow trucks. They're asking you not follow too close in real life, in real time. But you can know where they are and where they've been.
How many car lengths do they want you to stay behind a plow truck?
If I recall correctly, it says 100 feet in some cases, but I'm guessing almost nobody does that because what happens is if you follow the law of how far you should be back from a fire truck, from an ambulance and all that, people scoot in ahead of you. And then so you... People get territorial. They keep moving up closer because they don't want people to cut in front of them. So from a practical standpoint is one thing. From a reality, it's actually a completely different.
By the way, the suggestion we're getting this morning from the gentleman you're going to have on with us is six car lengths is
right.
What they're asking for.
Yeah. And but again, from a practical standpoint, how many people actually do that?
Well, I mean, some people's car length is about half of what others are. So,
what if you're driving, a smart car, one of them tiny ones I saw over the holiday weekend. It looks like a go-kart.
People are no kidding.
And then
it looks like two people just kind of get squeezed into it.
And then you see those pickup trucks, the crew cab that are jacked up really high, and they've got hundreds of lights on the front. Hundreds of lights.
When I'm on my way to work in the morning on 79 coming south, and the work trucks go by me, these the ones you're describing, these guys are trying to get out to the oil fields or whatever they're doing, the gas fields.
Right.
And or whatever project they're working on. These are the people who are most likely to be going by me with their hair on fire.
Right.
70, 80, 85 miles an hour? Sure.
Which brings us to another conversation we're going to have. Dr. Christian Conti, who's an expert in anger management.
Boy, does he help me out.
Well, he tries to give people tools to deal with just what you're talking about. You're in your car, and especially if you're by yourself or maybe a significant other, and that's when the mildest, mild-mannered people I've known can become unglued.
Oh, exactly right.
But I also want to ask him about resetting goals for the new year, but psychologically, how we're impacted by a story that we were met with first thing of this new year in New Orleans.
Oh, boy. Yeah, good one, Larry.
Just the gravity of that and the people that are struggling right now, coming through the holidays, anxiety, bills that are due because maybe they tried to take care of too many people over the course of the holidays, and you work your way into the new year, and then you deal with cloudy conditions and cold temperatures.
And the enormity of it all is too much sometimes, and it gets you down.
So Dr. Christian Conti is great at giving you some tools to help you deal with all of that. But the gravity of the news certainly affects everyone. And as we pointed out just a few minutes ago, one of the 14 killed in New Orleans was one of our team members here in the Odyssey family. And so it certainly resonates with us.